Support for The Common comes from Bluey's Big Play. Join Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili in their first ever live stage show, a fun-filled show made for the whole family at the Box Center Wang Theater, May 18th and 19th. Tickets at boxcenter.org. Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Boston Globe political reporter Samantha J. Gross, welcome back to The Common.
Thanks for having me.
So we're going to jump right into it, Sam. Last week, it was a big week for Massachusetts' overwhelmed family shelter system. The House and Senate approved a bill that includes a supplemental budget that would move $251 million into that system. And it would also impose a nine-month limit on state family shelter stays. Now, this bill, it awaits Governor Maura Healey's signature to make it a law. So just start us off real quick, Sam, just to give us a quick update on where things are with the shelter system before we jump into this bill.
Yeah, the shelter system in Massachusetts, it's unique. We're the only state with a right to shelter law, right? So the shelter system has families. Some of them are new migrants. Some of them are just homeless families in our state. And the shelter system has been really overwhelmed for probably the better part of the last year. The governor had to impose a cap on how many families could be in the shelter system, which has resulted in overflow shelters having to open. And the shelter system is really expensive to operate. So it's become, you know, a growing cost on the state, and it's put
nearly $1 billion, right?
Correct. Yeah. The governor's office estimates that it will be, you know, about $1 billion by the end of the fiscal year. So lawmakers have really been grappling with how to pay for it.
So that brings us to this bill with this supplemental budget and the 9 month stay limit. Tell us more about that.
So this bill is a compromise between the House and the Senate. It's taken, you know, a while of negotiating for them to have come out with this product. The bill basically limits the stays of families who are staying in emergency shelter to 9 months and then gives the option for 90-day extensions to certain people, people who may have a high-risk pregnancy or are, you know, victims of domestic violence, some veterans. But the idea is to limit the amount of time that people are staying in shelter so as to move more people through the system and try to kind of curb the cost on the emergency shelter system.
What's the thinking behind the limit on the stays and why 9 months?
It's a great question. And it's one that I've asked leadership who kind of led the charge on the bill. It is a number that seems, at least, you know, from my perspective, having talked to some of the lawmakers, pretty arbitrary and pretty just kind of a number that they felt was fair. Mm-hmm. I will say, you know, I speak to a lot of advocates and people who work in the shelter system and families who have been living in the shelter system, and the average stay is closer to a year or longer. So 9 months is a bit shorter than the average person is staying. And so I think it will be an interesting test on, you know, whether that was the right number once people start kind of facing those time limits. It is definitely something that advocates are really concerned about, maybe being a little bit too early to force people out of shelter.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the money.
Yes.
The additional $251 million when the state has already spent nearly $1 billion on this issue. How has that money been spent so far? And will this new money be spent any differently?
The money so far has gone toward, you know, a variety of costs, but mainly to, you know, these nonprofit providers that have contracts with the state to run the shelters. So they provide security and laundry and food and other kind of wraparound services to help people get connected with benefits like SNAP for food benefits, or, you know, help people get connected with healthcare. These nonprofits provide a lot of these services or work with other kind of caseworkers to help people get on their feet, basically. And that's really expensive. The costs go toward transportation. They help bus children to school. Every child in the state or in the country, it's a federal law, has the right to go to school and have transportation. So that's a big cost. And the overflow shelters are also expensive because the state is renting space. In some cases, you know, hiring private security and, you know, hiring contractors to staff these places 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the supplemental budget includes money to fund the shelter system through the end of this fiscal year. And it also authorizes the state to draw down $175 million from a surplus account to kind of ease the transition into the next fiscal year and pay for the shelter system going into fiscal year 2025.
Yeah, what's the long-term plan here?
You know, it's hard to say because this is just a really fluid situation. And, you know, lawmakers say they want the federal government to give more aid to states like Massachusetts that are shouldering the migrant crisis. You know, there's a lot of people coming to Massachusetts compared to some other states. And this is not a state that's used to having so many people come in at this pace. Mm-hmm. They're hoping for the federal government to provide more expedited work authorization so more new migrants can have the ability to work and have jobs and become more financially independent so they can, you know, eventually move out of shelter and hopefully get an apartment and get on their feet independently. And they're mm-hmm. hoping for the federal government to make changes to the laws at the border so that there's maybe just some more control over who's coming in. And I think that, you know, leaders in Massachusetts haven't really been specific about what they would like to see, but I think that, you know, they're feeling pretty desperate because it is a cost that's really hard to keep up with.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong, there was an immigration bill that went before U.S. Congress, but it failed.
That's correct.
So yeah, the states are kind of left to deal with this thing on their own.
It's tough. And we're not the only place dealing with it. I mean, the city of Chicago has kind of implemented new rules around their shelter system. That, you know, New York has been kind of dealing with a similar crisis. But again, you know, Massachusetts is the only state that has this right to shelter law. I think that, yeah, they're just grappling with how to stay, you know, in accordance with the law, but also pay for it.
Understood. All right, Sam, we're going to take a break here. But when we get back, I want to know how our advocates, housing and immigration advocates, how are they responding to this bill? So we'll be right back.
Bandit and Chili are coming to a theater near you.
Do you want to play musical statues with us?
Join the Healers in their first ever live stage show, Bluey's Big Play.
Look, Mom, Dad's playing with us.
A fun-filled show made for the whole family. It's Bluey brought to real life. Book now for Bluey's Big Play. We can't wait to see you there.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with Boston Globe political reporter Samantha J. Gross. So, Samantha, we are talking about the recent bill that was passed through the State House and Senate here that will bring more money to the state shelter system, which is currently overwhelmed right now, $251 million. And also it will impose a 9-month stay limit for families in the family shelter system. I want to know, how are housing and immigration advocates responding to this bill?
Yeah, I think, you know, they have been watching this really closely. They've been here at the State House every day as this bill, you know, was negotiated. And I think people are really anxious with the 9-month limit specifically. Mm-hmm. As we all know, in Massachusetts, we have a housing crisis.
Yep.
It's not easy to find an apartment whether you're staying in a shelter or not. And again, you know, the family shelter system is that it's for families. So this is for people who have children or who may be pregnant and probably need more space than a studio or a one bedroom, which, I mean, even in Massachusetts isn't always affordable. So I think there's a lot of concern about the kind of coinciding housing crisis and migrant crisis and how people are going to fare after 9 months.
What kind of solutions and strategies do they offer as an alternative?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they would hope for, they were hoping that the bill may include some more flexibility, and it does include some, you know, availability for extensions for people who may need them. You know, it's kind of a specific group. But advocates say that they wish that there was less bureaucracy. You know, you shouldn't have to go through the administration and go through a long process to get an extension, they argue. And I think that they just wish that the stay limit was longer so that people can get on their feet. They also believe that having people leave shelter and then having to re-enter the system if they can't find a place to stay, if they end up on the streets, is actually going to cost the state more money in the long term because people will be re-entering the system from scratch. Mm-hmm. And that requires caseworkers to process a case and work with the same family again. And I think that there's a feeling that maybe this isn't really going to help the problem, but just kind of kick the can down the road, if you will.
The state is basically renting space for their overflow shelters, right? And they're dispersed throughout different communities in the state. What kind of reactions have you gotten from community members, a reaction to this bill here?
The overflow shelters are definitely something that got really strong reactions to the communities. And it really like varies, I think, from community to community. People who are dealing with families every day, people like school superintendents who are seeing an influx of children, you know, come into their schools in different neighborhoods that have special needs. They are concerned about, you know, these folks losing a place to sleep. There are places like La Collaborativa and Chelsea that serve people during the day who may be staying in an overflow shelter at night, who are concerned about, you know, the types of services that people are getting and kind of what the long-term goal is. These overflow shelters, not all of them are, you know, 24 hours. A lot of them close during the daytime. And the list for the wait list to get into the shelter system is like more than 730 families long. And so it's a long process. And I think that people are concerned that the system is just going to continue to grow and that there needs to be some sort of longer term answer.
Understood. What are you looking out for next?
Definitely going to see, you know, what the governor does with the bill. She has the ability to sign it, but also to veto parts of it. And I think that is something we'll be watching really closely because that ultimately will answer the big question mark of, you know, what this is going to look like and what will happen when these limits go into place.
Sam, thank you so much for coming through to The Common. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Boston Globe political reporter Samantha J. Gross. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.